welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Get in the saddle. It's Monday again. We're ready to ride in the presence of the Lord right here through beautiful Brevard County, and pray that you got an opportunity to worship together in your local congregations, worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that you've been equipped by the Word. I tell you what, if you heard one good thing yesterday, maybe it was a testimony, maybe it was a song that was sung that ministered to you, maybe it was something that your pastor shared in his message. If there was one thing that spoke to you, why don't you do two things? One is tell somebody about that, that you crossed paths with, whether it's a family member, a coworker, a neighbor. And second, put that thing up on your social media, and just say, hey, this is what I encountered this last weekend. And, who knows what God could do with that one simple little post. So we want to say thank you today to the folks of Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric. They are based in Rockledge, Florida. They have chosen a business that they use their skill set to help keep you cool when it's hot and keep you warm when it's cold and keep your power running throughout good weather and bad weather. So they've been doing this professionally for between 40 and 50 years. It's actually closer to 50 now. With sales, services, and repairs, they specialize in air conditioning, heating, and electrical fields. They work in residential settings, light commercial settings. They even provide emergency service when necessary. They always strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. So before you find yourself in need of their services, write this number down, 321-632-9538. That's Wyrick Air, Weirich Air in Rockledge, Florida, 321-632-9538. When you write that number down or create a contact for them in your phone, when you do have a problem, you can call them and say, hey, Pastor Bob on the Refresh Radio program recommended you, and they will get you on the schedule, get out there as quickly as possible to solve your dilemma and get your air conditioning or power back up and running. I don't think you're going to need the heat a whole much more between now and October, say. So, Wyrick Air, 321-632-9538. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program. So today we are going back to Psalm 33. We have talked about rejoicing and praising God with our voices, with our instruments, and doing so skillfully, doing so with joy because of what God has done. The word of the Lord is right, and he's made the world. It says in verse number 6, that's where we're going to begin pick with our reading today. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. So we had talked about how God created the heavens with the word and with the breath of his mouth. So when God breathes, creative things take place. Transformational events occur because of the spirit or the breath of the mouth of the Lord. And it says he gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap or into a vessel, as some translations read. He lays up the deep in storehouses. In other words, God has storage capacity that you and I are unaware of. I get these messages from time to time that say, you know, you are almost out of storage in this account or that account. And the reason that they say things like that is they want you to purchase additional storage. God, when it comes to his blessings and the resources that you're going to need, God has all of the storage that you need. The children of Israel at one point in time had decided that because of the unreliability of nature, that they were going to create cisterns. So instead of trusting on the timely resources of God, they were going to create these storage tanks. Well, as a person who's lived in a house that had a cistern, let me tell you, it is not all that it is cracked up to be. You don't know the joy of having a cistern that runs dry when your parents are looking for resources and they're waking you up in the middle of the night and said, it's time for you to go get a load of water. That is part of my childhood. You know, I'd reached the driving age and my dad bought a truck and he had a water trailer, and that was the way that we filled up the water tank. But that wasn't the only thing. If you were going to maintain a cistern, you had to keep certain critters out of the cistern. You did not want the water supply being polluted. And so I will tell you that man's solutions are always inferior to God's solutions. I can tell you, from having a sprinkler system to help keep my yard and the churchyard alive through the years, that God normally accomplishes much more for my lawn in a short period of time than the sprinkler system does over a long period of time. So trust God, trust his resources, keep your eyes on him. That verse, verse 7, transitions to verse 8. There's a little bit of a break there as far as the people who put this particular large super giant print Bible that I have, they put a little bit of a break there as if there's a transition. Verse number 8 picks up and it says, let all the earth fear the Lord, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. So as I was praying before I came into the studio for this broadcast, I was asking God, what is a way that I can communicate this verse that it will give people a word picture of what that looks like? Now, the fear of the Lord is not a phobic fear. It's not something that we are in terror of him so that we avoid him. It is supposed to be a reverential awe that causes us to listen carefully and act carefully. So I was working at a church in another state many, many years ago, decades ago, actually now, and the pastor was working on the electric panel, and he was struggling with one particular thing, and I know not enough to touch things. I don't like to touch live electrical. It can cause your hair to curl. And I just, if I'm working with any wiring, I want the power to be completely off. And so I went to point at this one particular area that I was thinking might be the solution to his problem, and he slapped my arm away in no short order and said, "Don't touch that." Well, I wasn't going to touch that. But it was because he knew the vast amounts of power that were flying into that building. He did not want me injuring myself, even out of ignorance. And so he said, you know, this is something that you've got to be very, very careful around. And so I think that there is such a cavalier attitude towards God in modern society that many people have lost their awe, their wonder, their fear, or their reverence for God. God is nothing more to many people than two things. A source of profanity, a word that is used in profane communication. That's the first one. And the second, the individual to blame when life doesn't go the way that they want it to go. Instead of looking at God as the source of all of the earth's goodness, not badness, but goodness, they look at him as the reason for anything bad that happens in their life. And then that will normally translate into a profane outburst where they take the name of the Lord in vain. That's how far we have deteriorated in our society. There is very little reverence. Even to some degree, there is not a lot of reverence when it comes to Christians in their attitude towards God. They look at, you know, coming and doing their ritualistic duty and things like that, but there's very little that causes them to say, you know, I respect God, I revere God so much that when I come into his presence, when he has forgiven me of my sins and is the Lord of my life, I am going to give him the very best that I have. So, several weeks ago, we had our Be a Blessing yard sale event, and we gave away all sorts of things. I gave away a lot of tools. Some other people brought some tools. There was all sorts of furniture and books and videotapes, just all sorts of things. And someone picked up one of the tools. It wasn't one of the tools that I donated. And so they asked, does it work? And someone was sitting there and they said, does what work? And I just whipped this tool with a little bitty flip of my hand. And mercifully, this thing had an extra long nozzle on it. It was a electric blower. And fortunately, I missed making contact with this person's face in a very sensitive area. I missed by a fraction of an inch. And I broke into a season of two things. One, beating myself up for coming that close to accidentally hitting somebody in the face, and two, thanking God that he had kept a horrible accident from taking place. I was extremely, extremely grateful and thankful to God for his mercy. If we could be that thankful for a person who comes to our rescue, a person who helps us find what is lost, how much more grateful should we be when the omnipotent God, the almighty God, the God who can do anything, the omnipresent God who is in all places at the same time, who is the omniscient God, who knows what we have need of before we even ask, and provided the solution before the problem ever existed, how grateful should we be for creating such a wonderful place for humanity to grow and thrive in their relationship with God? There, I wish the church had some of the resources entrusted to it that, you know, these people who are constantly looking for an alternative to earth to live. You know, I know that the church is funded by tithes and offerings, but there's a lot of people who are thinking there's got to be someplace else for earth or beyond earth for us to live, not realizing God created this wondrous place that we live in. And so we're a benefit of Brevard County for all of that money that I could say, you know what, let's make the most out of the opportunity that God has given to us. And look, I think there's some wonderful inventions and things that have taken place in the space program. It was one of the only programs that even had a large degree of return on investment. And so I don't have a problem with that aspect at all. I think a lot of innovations have come as a result of it. What I am saying is, let's remember that God created a wonderful place for us to exist, and he did it all by himself, and he did it with the breath of his mouth, by the moving of his Holy Spirit. And all he asks for us is to fear the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's something that we should learn to live in. It says, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. So as I was praying, this is what I, the word picture that I had that I want to share with you. First of all, what does standing in awe or being in awe, what does that look like to you? For some people, especially in ancient cultures, being in awe or living with a reverential fear, it would cause you to fall on your face. Now, a lot of times, believers did that, and angels would come along and say, get up. I'm just a created being, just like you. You don't worship created beings. You don't worship angels. We are messengers of God. We are here on dispatch, sent to serve the ministers of the Lord. So, but don't worship us, okay? So there's only one angel, the angel of the Lord, which is generally regarded as a theophany, a manifest presence of the Son of God before his virgin birth and before his life. a theophany was not a created being at that point in time. He was basically the word of the Lord or the messenger of the Lord. In other words, he rightfully deserves reverence and awe and worship. However, any demonic spirit will be more than happy to receive praise and worship because they're in rebellion to God. The devil in his temptation said, I'll give you all the world if you will just fall down and worship me. I want you to know that the devil never gives, he just lends for a season. He's the one who always controls the strings. And so you've got to realize that if he is tempting you, you don't want to make a deal with him because he is horrible at holding up his end of the bargain. So a lot of times people would fall down. A lot of times people would lose their desire or ability to communicate effectively. Zacharias encountered an angel of the Lord in the temple, and because he did not act in faith and obedience and trust in what he was told, he lost his ability to speak concerning anything during John or his wife's pregnancy with John the Baptist. And it wasn't until John was born that his ability to speak was restored. Some people, and in this verse it says, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of you. So sometimes there will be kneeling, sometimes there will be falling on your face, sometimes there will be standing where you are in awe of God. I think we need to continue to elevate God, not lower him to just a feel-good status. Remember who he is. A friend of mine says this, make sure you stay off of God's throne. He will elevate you whenever he wants to elevate you, but I think that we need to remember how holy he is and what unholiness he has redeemed us from. So you've got a problem and you've got the solution to your problem being God, and you have both of them in the same place at the same time. Which one do you fix your focus on? Which one do you give greater credence to, greater credibility to? Which one of them impacts you or influences you the most? Because if we are standing in awe of God, the problems that we experience are going to seem minuscule. It's not that they're insignificant problems. It's just that they are not comparable to the greatness and the holiness and the omnipotence of the one who died on the cross to save us. As a result of that, whenever the problem and God, the problem solver, are in the same space, you and I are fixated on God to such a degree that faith arises in our heart, and we realize that the outcome of this is going to be a greater degree of faith and greater glory to God than we had before the trial. Now, what if we stand in such a position that instead of it being God who, if you will allow me to use this expression, where our breathing comes to an intermission, if you will, because we are so overwhelmed with the magnitude and the greatness of God. If It's the problem that takes our breath away or causes us to be in awe. In other words, if our problem and our problem-solving God are in the same room and we begin to fixate our focus on the problem and the problem begins to magnify and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger as far as our perception goes, then we are going to be in awe of the problem instead of the resolution to the problem. In that case, it will not be faith that arises inside of you. It will be fear. Instead of looking at the problem as insignificant compared to God, you will see yourself as insignificant to the problem, and that the problem just keeps getting bigger and bigger. I'll let you in on a little secret. Conversations that I have with people who are so amazed by the size and the scope of the problem instead of the greatness and the glory of God who can solve that problem, those conversations can be pretty frustrating to me. The reason being is because no matter how much I give glory to God and praise God and point them to the sufficiency of God, who is the all-sufficient one, He's bigger than the universe. He's bigger than any problem. No matter how much I build God up, these people many times will come and they will make their problem bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And so where faith is rising in me, fear is rising in them. And at some point in time, I just have to realize, you know what, until they're ready to stand in awe of God. And listen, this is going to take place for everybody. This says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe. This is not just something that is going to take place for believers. Every eye will see him. Every eye will behold him. Every eye will see him as the Son of the living God coming in the clouds of glory. I want to be the person that is saying, you're more beautiful than I ever imagined, and I've got a really, really good imagination. Go forth today in awe of the one who saved you and empowers you to live for him today. We'll see you tomorrow. Right.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. In Christ alone, my hope is found.